The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast provided to you by William Hill. We'll be looking ahead to Friday's racing on this edition of the podcast, the third day of the Ebor Festival from York. You'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio with Dave Kellner, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the studio. Fantastic day of action, including the big Nunthorpe, the Group 1. But in the meantime, my name is Sam Norris and I'm joined once more by Timeform's Jamie Lynch. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy. We're halfway through the brilliant Ebor meeting. And lots to talk about and reflect on the first day, don't you think?
It was a good day of action, really. Marred slightly by Kingston Hill's withdrawal, I thought. Obviously, we'll come to the winner of the Great Voltigeur in a second. But a good decision for Roger Varian for you?
Well, it was a good decision for my bank balance, I suspect, because I didn't expect a performance like Postpone produced in winning this Great Voltigeur. I thought that it was just a turn-up and have a run-round job for Kingston Hill. But if he had a race, then he would have met a formidable rival because Postpone is improving fast. And he looks a Group 1 winner in the making of the future. It sounds like he's not going to go for the St. Ledger, so you might still find that Kingston Hill has got a good spot and the premier spot when it comes to Doncaster next month. But Postpone took that race apart, and what was noticeable about it was he beat Snow Sky readily, and Snow Sky beat the rest comprehensively. They were a strung-out field. It was a race of a good gallop and a high threshold. It looked really strong form, and Postpone has suddenly, you know, he's looked a progressive horse up until now, but on Tuesday he looked like a Group 1 horse.
Yeah, it was a fantastic run by Postpone. You mentioned there Kingston Hill maybe going to the St. Ledger. He's been installed as 4-1 favourite with us here for that race. Would that be the next logical step for you?
Yeah, I think so. And I can see that 4-1 price being nibbled away in the course of the next few weeks, because it's clear from what Roger Varian has said now that the St. Ledger is the aim. It was always a bit up in the air where his autumn campaign would be, but he's more or less set the horse's sights on that. And the case for fancying him in the Great Voltigeur still stands for the St. Ledger. Obviously, it's a Group 1 race compared to the Great Voltigeur being a Group 2, but there won't be any horses in there with his form, because think of what he did in the Derby, chasing home in Australia, and Australia, of course, proved his worth all over again and cemented his position, and likewise did plenty for Kingston Hill himself in winning the Judmont. So it still all ties in really well. I still think Kingston Hill is the one to beat, and I'd be surprised, Sam, if he does get there and the ground's good, conducive for him to race, if he's as big as 4-1 on the day.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. He's almost certainly going to be backed in at that price. We'll move on then to the winner of the Judmont International yesterday. No prizes for guessing who won it. Australia, a comfortable looking victory.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I was a little bit underwhelmed. It's awful to say that about a horse who's won multiple Group 1s and added another string to his bow in winning over a mile and a quarter firstly and then beating the older horses. But the suspicion was, and the feeling is, that neither Telescope nor Muckadram ran to their best. It was the Great Gatsby who chased home Australia. And I was really expecting Australia over this intermediate trip to go whoosh in the final furlong. We got the sort of woo part two furlongs out when he cruised through, but the shh at the end of the whoosh wasn't quite there. But then again, he wasn't really asked for everything. There might still be something what Aidan O'Brien said beforehand. I rather poo-pooed it, suggesting that Aidan O'Brien, that when he said that the horse was heavier than before, that he might not be 100% fit, but there might well be something in that. It was significant afterwards that Aidan O'Brien said he still maintains that, and Joseph rode him with an eye to that as well. They are crucial elements, and the feeling still is certainly here within time form, because he retains that time form P, is that Australia still has got a bigger performance in him somewhere down the line, and that's the really exciting part. We don't know whether it'll be in Ireland for the Champion Stakes or back in Britain at Ascot for our Champion Stakes, or might even be further afield in the Arc, or perhaps even the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's a race that Ballydoyle are desperate to win, and that's one that they normally target the best horse at. He'd be a fascinating runner in that. But what we've seen so far this week, this stellar week of racing, Kingman on Sunday in France, Australia on Wednesday at York, and hopefully, fingers crossed, Togruder at York on this very day on the Thursday. It would be a shame if those three outstanding three-year-olds didn't, at least two of them didn't clash in one of the all-defining championship races at the end of the season. At the minute, Sam, it looks a little bit like Kingman's going to stick to a mile in the QE2, Australia's going to stick to a mile and a quarter in the Champion Stakes, and Togruder is going to keep to a mile and a half, maybe he's going for the Arc. So it would be a real shame if those three, or at least two of those three, didn't clash heads in one of the all-encompassing, massively defining championship races at the end of the season. But hey, let's just revel in the fact that we've got three three-year-olds of that standard.
Yeah, right, you are. It'd be fantastic for us as a spectator to watch those three go head-to-head. We'll move on then to some of Friday's action. The first race on the card from York on Friday is the 1.55 over a mile and a half handicap class 2, and another cracking 20-runner field handicap that we've got. Who looks best here?
Well, we have to have a shortlist for this. We can go through each of the 20 and pull out their various failings and positives in some regard, but my shortlist comprises, I think, number one, well, not necessarily number one in the betting list, but number one horse to concentrate on is Chancery, number 6. Now, Chancery obviously won this race 12 months ago, and he's quite linearly treated here, only £3 higher, despite, if anything, advancing his form a little further. You look to that Newmarket listed race in June when he was third and beaten narrowly by both Sheikh Zayed Road and Gatewood. That suggested that Chancery had put a few more pounds of improvement on what he showed last year. He finished 5th in the John Smith Cup, coming from a long way back over an adequate mile and a quarter, and I wouldn't be surprised if Chancery had this as his main aim all along this season, going for the repeat bid from a fair draw. He obviously has to be in anyone's shortlist. A few others to throw in the mix: Storm Atchin just brings a different profile in here. He's the only horse in the whole 20-runner field with the time form P, denoting more improvement in him, and that's a pretty straightforward case to make because he's improved and got better more or less throughout his career, his lightly raced career. Easy to put a line through Goodwood last time. The track, the sharp track, the undulating track, the difficult track didn't seem to suit him, coupled with the fact it was a mile and a quarter when before that he'd really relished going up to a mile and a half at Epsom the time before that. So Stomachian brings something different to the table, an unexposed profile. But the one I think I'm coming round to most is a little bit left field, and he's a little bit of a tricky customer, but he might just be stimulated by a mile and a half in a big field off a fast pace at York, and that's number 13, Glenard. He's a horse who, when you watch him travel through his races, he looks a potential listed even group horse from the way he goes through and the way he can operate in a field on the bridle, more or less. And he started the season over 2 mile, went as far as 2.25 mile in the Chester Cup when he did his usual trick of travelling well and not really delivering at the end. And since then, he's come back down in trip, and he's again shaped really well, shaped as if there's a bigger performance in him somewhere. And I just think that these circumstances of a mile and a half at York from a low draw in a big field with a strong pace might show him in a really good light. So Glenard for me is perhaps number one on a fairly long shortlist.
Okay, fair enough. Glenard, the headline selection for Jamie in that one. Any of these horses have each way appeal to you at big prices?
Yeah, there are a couple in there that are big prices. By the nature of these races, you're going to get horses who are well handicapped and useful in their own right, who are big prices because they're just so competitive. Esteeming number 5, David Barron. Now, David Barron obviously knows what it takes to win at York. He brings some of his best horses to York year in, year out, and Esteeming is himself a York winner. And the last time we saw him was a couple of months ago at Haydock when he was second to Magic Hurricane. Pushed that horse really close, clear of the rest, and he's just got an improving profile. He, a bit like Glenard, has tried longer trips and not really seen it out, but he's back at a mile and a half, his best trip, and he comes in here fresh. He's got a good record when fresh, and he is lightly raced compared to most. We must also throw in another Northern Raider. It's not really a raider if it's still in the north, is it? It's a defence of
yes.
Yorkshire. It's Pearl Castle, number 10. Because Pearl Castle's just had a handful of flat runs in his life. He's got better more or less each start. And he ran at Galway in the Galway Hurdle last time out. Finished 6th of 20, but was unlucky not to finish a fair bit closer that day. He met some trouble. And he finished that race full of running. And he's in here off a handy weight with Joe Doyle taking off a nice 5 pound. So there's various horses in here with really good chances. Pearl Castle and Esteeming are two horses who are fighting out for Yorkshire. But I do quite like Glenard in here. I think he's going to be a big price because his reputation of being a horse who's hard to win with and not delivering off the bridle perhaps precedes him. But when you get horses like that, what they ideally want is a big field, strong gallop scenario. And that's exactly what he's got here over what I think is might be his ideal trip. So Glenard, each way selection probably, Sam, in that opener at York.
Okay, there we go then. Jamie's thoughts on Friday's first race. We'll move on then to the 2:30. This one, the Lonsdale Cup, of course. Group 2 over 2 miles, and Cavalryman leads the betting for the Godolphin team at 9-4. He was, of course, very impressive in the Goodwood Cup and won a Group 2 over at Newmarket. He's been running well in Maidan. Very hard to ignore at the top of the market, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely the one to beat, isn't he? Because at Goodwood last time, he proved himself one of the best days still in Britain. He's an 8-year-old horse, but he's no sign of age catching up with him whatsoever. He teamed up with Kieran Fallon for the first time at Goodwood. It's probably no wonder that they meshed as well as they did, because they've got quite similar profiles throughout their career. They've both been around for a long time. They both had their up and downs. They were formidable at one stage, but both are now staging a later life resurgence, proving themselves as stays. Cavalryman and Kieran Fallon, definitely the ones to beat in here. But by the same token, Cavalryman is an 8-year-old. You know, there's plenty of wear and tear on him. And on most of his seasons have sort of ended with a whimper. He's had a highlight midsummer, and then the season has just tailed off slightly, and that's in the back of your mind. He was beaten in this race when expected to do better back in 2012 by, incidentally, a couple of horses who were still around themselves. Time's Up and High Jinx were first and second that day, and they are both in here again, all stages themselves. Cavalryman, definitely the one to beat. He's the one with the best form. But he's a fairly short price for an 8-year-old who is vulnerable, has been proven as vulnerable in the past, and there are a few newer, fresher challenges against him in here. And the most intriguing one against him is the Irish mare down the bottom, Pale Mimosa. She's just raced 9 times in her whole life. Cavalryman's raced 37 times. That tells you about how many miles are on the relative clocks. And there's a suspicion that Pale Mimosa has got some unfinished business, especially at 2 miles. Only one of her 9 runs has come over 2 miles. It was at Ascot in the Long Distance Cup last year when she was 4th. Finished really strongly that day, as if the trip really suited her. But she just got going too late. Since then, this season, she's gone up against Leading Light. No match for him, but no horse has been a match for Leading Light all year. And then she won a listed race at Leopardstown smoothly, just setting her up well for the bigger targets this season. And this is her first big target. Encouragingly, she's already a York winner. She came over and won the Galtra Stakes back in 2012. And we talked yesterday, didn't we, Sam, about Dermot Wells' record at York.
Yes.
And that applied in the Galtra Stakes then, and it applies now to Pale Mimosa. So she's just fresh blood, really, in a race that's full of more or less old stages. It's hard to back Estimate on the back of that Goodwood run. It's hard to back any of those who took on Cavalryman at Goodwood. Neither Angel Gabriel nor Forgotten Voice alongside Estimate looks like they can turn that round. So Pale Mimosa might be the one to topple Cavalryman, if indeed there is one. I do think that Pale Mimosa is going to improve, because this has probably been a target all along. This is only a second go at 2 miles, and Dermot Weld will have a well revved up for this. So I do like Pale Mimosa in this one.
Okay, fair enough then. Pale Mimosa is available at the time of recording with us here at William Hill at 10-3, second favourite behind Cavalryman at 9-4. We'll head on then to the 3:05, the City of York Stakes. This one, a listed race over 7 furlong. And Cable Bay's one of interest here, making his seasonal reappearance, 314 days off, very, very fresh. Would that encourage or dissuade you?
I think it can only put you off, the fact that he's clearly had a setback to be making such a belated reappearance and to miss as much of the season as he has. Let's not forget how classy he is on his day. Second in the Dewhurst behind Walkerman last year. That was just one of a series of near misses in group races. It's clear that he's got the ability, but the question is, how much ability does he retain, and is he going to be 100% first time out? It's hard to back him, given the absence that he's coming back from. Same goes for a few others in the race, including Sovereign Debt. This is a big ask, a tall order for horses coming in fresh and coming in without any match practice. So even though Cable Bay, probably in raw ability, is as good as anything in the field, there is a question mark about him and his readiness after 314 days off. Now, this is a listed race, which is no normal listed race, and I say that because how many listed events do you see where it's such a big field and such a guaranteed strong pace? This is almost like it's got the feel of a top-end handicap, and that's why I'm sent towards number four, Gabriel's Lad. He hasn't yet made the breakthrough beyond handicaps, but if he's ever going to do it, today's the day, because he's a horse who excels with the sort of scenario that we've got here. He wants a big field, he wants a strong pace, and he wants to be delivered late. And all those things are on the cards for him here. He won the Victoria Cup, 25 runner race, very easily. He won that by 2¼ lengths. It probably could have been 4¼ lengths had George Baker really asked him for everything. And that was a pattern standard performance. To win that off 102 suggests that he has got listed certainly ability and probably group race ability. Now, it hasn't worked out for him since then, but with some excuses. And he comes in here with an ideal scenario for the sort of horse that Gabriel's Lad is. And despite it being such a big field, I think we can put a line through plenty of these. Most of them either look out of form, a few of them just look out of the depth at this level. But Gabriel's Lad, if he can reproduce what he's done in big handicaps, then he's a huge player here. And I think of all the races on day three of York, Sam, he's the horse I'm most excited about, and he's the one I'm going to be focusing my betting strategy around.
Okay, fair enough. Gabriel Zad in that one for Jamie. Not priced up on this race yet. We'll move then to the headline of the day on Friday, the 3:40, the Nunthorpe Stakes, of course, Group 1 contest. And this one, it's a race that's no stranger to a big-priced winner. Jawala taking it down last year at 40-1. Margot did in 2011 at 20-1. And, of course, today's favourite, Soul Power, way back in 2010 at 100-1. He goes off 3-1 favourite for the Nunthorpe this year. Are you keen to be with him, or are you looking to take him on?
Do you want to feel old, Sam? I can make you feel old if you want, because Soul Power, way back in 2010, winning that race at 100-1, I mean, that's bad enough thinking how many years have gone by since then. But number one, Border Lescott, he won the Nunthorpe back in 2008. He won the Nunthorpe when most of his rivals hadn't even been born that he faces today. And Border Lescott, yes, I mean, it's a fairy tale that he's even running here again, the Nunthorpe, but he's got a mountain to climb just on the ability he seems to retain. You're right to say that the focus horse is Soul Power, because despite his age being 7 now, he seems to be better than ever, the way he won the Palace House and the way he won the King Stand at Royal Ascot with that trademark burst of speed at the end that took him past several horses who were up against him here again today, including Stepper Point and Hot Streak. Soul Power is the natural starting point, and Soul Power's well drawn for his exact style. Look who he's drawn next to. He's drawn next to Take Cover. Take Cover's been one of the success stories of the whole year. His development and his rapid rise through the ranks. And there's no faster horse in here than Take Cover. Take Cover will definitely lead the Nunthorpe field for 4 furlongs. He might lead the Nunthorpe field for 4½ furlongs. Who knows? He could even cling on at the end. But what he is, he's the ideal target for Soul Power to aim at. So being drawn next to him is ideal for Soul Power, and it should theoretically suit his style ideally. Richard Hughes is on board, as he was in the King Stand at Royal Ascot. The one issue with Soul Power, the thing that's preying on your mind, is that Eddie Lynham has come out and said that this horse has missed a bit of work in his preparation. I think he had some sort of skin infection, which meant he missed a week or 10 days or so. And obviously, in a race which you need to be at 100% to win a Group 1 sprint, that's just in the back of your mind about Soul Power. Having that interrupted preparation isn't the ideal coming in here and trying to regain that Nunthorpe crown. Soul Power, if you knew he was fit, if you knew he was 100% healthy, then his price looks fairly good, because you know he's the best around. But still, that is just in the back of your mind with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these horses faced off against each other, of course, in the King George Stakes at Goodwood. How much of that form do you take into this race?
Yeah, there's plenty in here who couldn't quite get to Take Cover. That was Take Cover's latest point in his ongoing ascension, in his climb towards the top. And Take Cover before then he'd made short work of a listed field at this track. York lends itself exactly to his style. The front-running funnel of speed that York's 5 furlong provides is right up takeover street. And under identical circumstances to Goodwood, it's difficult to see any of those who were snapping at his heels in the finish reversing the form with him. We're talking about Extortionist, a movie star, and Stepper Point again. G-Force is in here against him. They weren't beaten that far. It's easy to see why they're taking him on again, but take cover, his blistering speed will count for a lot here at York. But there's a few in here who also have the capacity to win an Unthorpe. I would certainly think so. Number 11, Cougar Mountain. Intriguing horse, this, because he didn't even make his debut until June. And then 2 weeks after winning a maiden at Nace, he finished 5th in the July Cup, run really well, and certainly looked to have the speed for 5 furlongs. But perhaps the horse who I'm going to give another chance to is number 14, Hot Streak. Now, at the start of the season, I was absolutely convinced that Hot Streak would win a Group 1, probably even more than one Group 1s. It hasn't really worked out that way, despite his performance in the Temple, which is probably still about as good a performance as any sprinter has put up so far this season. Third behind Soul Power in the King's Stand, and then 7th in the July Cup. But it's easy to underestimate that he is still a work in progress. He's only a 3-year-old, and having this big race involvement hopefully will have put an edge on him. He didn't quite stay the 6 furlongs in the July Cup, but he made a big move in the penultimate furlong, which suggested that he was still in peak form. And this is an ideal slot for him, because York, 5 furlongs, playing to his strengths, i.e. speed, speed, speed. Hot Streak looks good in here to me, and he's almost a little bit of a forgotten horse because he hasn't yet translated that promise into full achievement. But today might be the day.
Okay, then Hot Streak in that one for Jamie. And the three horses you mentioned there, they're all co-favourites of 3 behind Soul Power at 3-1. Cougar Mountain, Hot Streak and Take Cover all available at 7-1. Shay Shay is 8-1. It's double figure prices for the rest of the field. Any of those at a double figure price interesting you for a bit of each way?
Well, Pearl Secret is a horse who's a bit like Hot Streak. He obviously runs in the same colours, and he finished 2nd to Hot Streak in the Temple Stakes. And if you were to ask David Barron, I suspect that he would tell you that Pearl Secret, even now, hasn't yet reproduced on the track what he's been doing at home. And Pearl Secret is a horse who's long since promised to run to a huge figure under the right circumstances. And who knows, with a bit of rain about, and certainly the 5 furlong flat, fast track at York, those are, in theory at least, Pearl Secret Good's ideal conditions. And he's still got a sense of unfinished business, and there's still an air of hidden depths about Pearl Secret. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit the frame in this Unthorpe, because he's one horse who the best is yet to come, even now as a 5-year-old.
All right, fantastic stuff then. Pearl Secret is available at 14-1 if you were looking to follow Jamie in there for maybe an each way shout. If you could just remind us again, please, Jamie, your selections for Friday's racing from York.
Yeah, selections for Friday at York, 155. Number 13, Glenard. Probably more of an each way than a win only selection, but I like Glenard. His high cruising speed will count for a lot. And now he's in this big field, strong pace, mile and a half handicap at York from that low draw. 2:30, I'm happy to take on Cavalryman, an 8-year-old with plenty of wear and tear. He's not that far ahead of the field, and the new fresh blood, that of Pale Mimosa, a horse who's had just a handful of races and only 1 or 2 miles. I'm expecting a certain amount of improvement from her on her biggest day yet. And then the 3:05, the City of York Stakes, probably the most confident selection on day 3 at York. I really like Gabriel's Lad in this. This is no ordinary listed race. It's more like a top-end handicap, and that's why Gabriel's Lad looks the right fit for the 3:05. And then finally, there are various horses you could fancy here. I probably will be having a bit each way on Pearl Secret, because I'd be desperately sad if he won without my money on. But in terms of a win bet in a tricky heat, I'm going for Hot Streak to finally deliver on all that potential.
Okay, then, excellent. There we are, the thoughts of Timeform's Jamie Lynch and William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And join us at Racing Radio for all of Friday's action. Dave Kellner, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the studio. All the action from York, of course. There's also Fosslass, Goodwood, Hamilton, Newcastle, Newmarket, Kilbeggan and Killarney. So plenty to go at on Friday. Thanks for joining me today on the podcast, Jamie, and we'll catch up again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Good luck, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.